Take your Bibles, Luke chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 1. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. You may have noticed that I am preaching different messages when I'm preaching twice on Sunday, preaching a different message than I preached in 9:15, but we stay on the same theme. We just look at it from a different angle. Amen. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through to verse 13. Amen. Has everyone got it in their Bibles? Okay, no one yet, all right? Well, I think a few weeks ago I challenged some people to learn all the books of the Bible. All right, so on the 21 days, we're starting on Friday, while we're praying and fasting, why don't you give yourself to learn the books of the Bible, all right? All the way from Genesis, all the way through to Revelation. And let me tell you, you can do it. And you say, well, I'm too old. I tell you, they can't teach an old dog new tricks, all right? Amen. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. I could preach on that, I think. You know, sometimes we think that living for God is always going to be easy. But even Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. God is in control, even if you're in the wilderness. Amen? And being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him to a high mountain, showed him all of the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Everyone's saying a moment of time. The devil showed him everything in a moment of time. The devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever will I give it. If thou wilt worship me, you can have it all, Jesus. The devil said, he showed him everything in the moment of a time, all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. He said, you can have it all if you will worship me. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, Jesus, if you're the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou at any time dash thou foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. In a moment of time, in that wilderness experience, the devil said, if you will worship me, you can have it all. If you will worship me. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. I want to speak today on this title. Worship is the transfer of power. Worship is the transfer of power. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your word today. Let faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We thank you for everybody, Lord, under the sound of my voice, whether now or later in the archives, Lord God, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord God. Help us to understand something about worship today. Help us to not just hear, but to apply it to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. You may be seated. Worship. Worship is the transfer of power. Everybody say power. Worship comes from the word, or the two words, worth-ship. We worship something that we esteem of worth. And so what you esteem of worth is the thing that you worship. And so we worship God because there is none greater than God. Worship is the transfer of power. Now, let me just say this. I want the power of God to be at work in my life. I don't want to be the one in control of everything in my life. I know you might want to be in control of everything in your life, but I've been around long enough, and I'm smart enough only just to know that I can't do everything on my own. To know that many times I'm going to fall short. To know many times that I'm going to fail. To know many times that I don't know the answers. To know many times that I'm going to be confused. I have been around long enough to know that I cannot do it on my own. I want the power of God to be at work in my life. I want God to be able to speak to me. I want God to be able to guide me. I want God to be able to give me wisdom. I want and I need the power of God at work in my life. And I believe you also know exactly what I'm talking about. If you've been around any time, you know that you need God to help you. How many people can say, God, help me? Amen. We say it just as flippantly sometimes, but it is a true thing. We need God to help us. Whatever issues you have in your life, whatever needs you have in your life, I want to tell you, the key is to worship the God who created us and knows everything about us. You see, when things don't go right, you go back to the instructions. Now, I just happen to, you know, whenever I buy something, I always just think I know how to do it, and I just throw the instructions away. And then later on, I'm like, oh, man, the rubbish has already been taken out. I don't have those instructions, so I'm trying to Google how to find the instructions. You know, that's a lot how we do life, isn't it? We just try to do it, and then when we can't, we look up the instructions. God created us. He knows everything. He knows our failures. He knows our shortcomings. He knows our insecurities. He knows the things that tempt us. He knows the besetting sins and fears. But God is on the throne. You know, He knows everything about us. Who are we to think that we can do it on our own? We need the power of God at work in our life. And somebody say amen. And I believe that if we worship Him, He will visit us. He will visit us. You see, we are limited, but the God that we worship is unlimited. Worship enables God. When we begin to worship Him, when we draw nigh to Him, He draws nigh to us. You see, worship enables God to work in our lives. You see, worship, the essence of worship is to seek God, to seek His face. And so when you worship, you are abandoning yourself. You are surrendering to God and saying, God, I need you to show up. I am seeking your help. I am seeking your face. I need you. And when we worship, it enables God to work in our life. I'm going to say something important right now, but I submit to you that who or what you worship is the most critical choice you can make in your life. Who and what you worship, who and what you attribute worth to, is the most critical choice that you can make in terms of your destiny of your soul, what you worship. You see, God hates idols. Why does God hate idols? Because He hates us to attribute anything worth except to Him. Now, worship, we often think worship is just like the time that we just had. We had some songs and we had great music and we had great singing and we call that a worship service. But worship is more than just songs. Worship is more than just beautiful lyrics about God. Worship is not just the words that you speak or the sound that you make. Worship is the life that you live. You worship God. If it were possible for God to have a weakness, I spoke about this in 9:15. If it was possible for God to have a weakness, it would be for worship. Because the Bible tells us the only thing that God seeks is worshipers. The Bible says that He seeks such to worship Him. He seeks worshipers. John chapter 4 and verse 23. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. You see, God seeks worshipers. God looks for worshipers. Why did God go looking for David? And why did God promote David? Because he found in David a man who was a worshiper. He found in David a man who would seek after God. You see, worship is the one thing that God cannot give himself. We know he is all sufficient, but worship is the one thing that he cannot give himself. You see, a true worshiper knows who God is, and they know who they are. And people who have problems with worship think that they're a little higher than God. In fact, they would rather attribute worth to themselves than to God. You see, true worshipers understand how small we are compared to a great God. True worshipers know that the only thing that you can do when you come into the presence of God is to surrender. True worshipers know you don't stand up in the face of God and say, you know what, I'm something too. True worshipers know that in God's presence, all you do is bow. All you do is lay before him. All you do is surrender before him. You see, people don't worship because why? They want to keep their own crown on. Everyone say a crown. Let me tell you what happens around the throne of God. There are no crowns to be worn around the throne of God in heaven. Revelation chapter 4 verse 10 and 11 says, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns. A crown represents all that they are, even their identity. We know a king because he wears a crown. We know a queen because they wear a crown. And so when they came before the throne where Jesus sits on the throne in heaven, they cast their crowns before him. Everything they were, their identity, every ambition, everything they had achieved, everything that was worth to them, they cast it before him. And what did they say? They said, thou art worthy. Not me. I'm not worthy. But God, thou art worthy. You're worthy, God, to receive glory. You're worthy, God, to receive honor. You're worthy, God, to receive power. For you have created all things, even me. And so I cast my crown before you. You see, worship doesn't preserve our dignity. No, because when we worship, we are honoring his divinity. He is great. You see, uninhibited worship, sometimes people look at it and they think here on earth in the human mind, we think it's just crazy. But let me tell you, uninhibited worship is normal around the throne in heaven. They cast their crowns before him. I want to tell somebody today, it's okay to be passionate about worshiping God. It's okay. You know, my mom used to say about worship and praise, she'd say, well, if they can go to a football stadium, and they can get excited and scream and shout and raise their hands and stomp their feet and dance and all that just when it's a football game, how much more should we be worshiping God? And even more than that, you know, when after the game's finished, Brother Maxwell, all the people are waiting around the change rooms hoping that those footballers will come out. And, you know, they'd be happy just to get a high five. They'd be happy for that footballer to come up and just take a texter and just scribble on their back something. And they walk away and say, oh, wow, he touched me. He wrote on my clothes. You see, they're attributing worth to those people. And, you know, they do crazy things. Sometimes they wait up all night. Sometimes they jump up and down trying to get their attention. Let me tell you, it's all right to worship God passionately. Because he's the only one we should be worshiping. Amen. He's the only one we should be worshiping. And so if sometimes you feel a little bit, you know, like others maybe watching you, or you feel a little bit insecure or whatever it is, a little bit awkward, just close your eyes and say, God, I've come to worship you. God, I've come to lift up your name. I've come to lift you up because you deserve all of the glory. Well, where was I going with that text today? It's an awkward text that we read about the devil going to the mountain. Satan going to the mountain with Jesus and showed him everything in a moment of a time. And he said, if you'll worship me, you can have it. Obviously, Jesus was God in flesh. He was humanity and divinity in one. the dual nature of Jesus. You know, in that he was born, but he was the Ancient of Days. He walked on the water as God. He walked beside the water as man. He hungered in the wilderness and in the garden even, but he fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You see, he was God and man. And here it is in this text, to even imagine Jesus bowing down and worshiping Satan. It's awkward to even think about it, but that account is there in the Bible. And it's not that Jesus did that, but Satan came and he said, if you would bow down and worship me, Jesus, you can have it all. And so here is this confrontation between Jesus Christ and Satan. Each challenge from Satan, Jesus gives a response. He says, it is written. That's why you've got to know the Word of God. Because when the devil comes against you, when the devil comes to you, when the devil tries to bring you down, he's going to come and he's going to do the one thing that he's good at doing. He's going to come with lies. He's going to come and he's going to lie to you. And the way that you can expose the lies is to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You see, this Word is truth. And if you know the Word of God, each lie that Satan says to you, you can say, no, 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 no. It is written in the Word of God. I choose to stand on the truth. That's why the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. When the devil comes to you to lie, you just say, ha, 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 it is written. There's a verse for every battle. You can bring it and you can expose the lies of Satan. But the devil came to tempt Jesus. And with each challenge, Jesus gives a response. The devil tries for the knockout punch. First of all, he tries with things. You can have these things, these powers. But then he tries for the knockout punch and he sums it all up. He goes, you know what? What I really want is for you to bow down and worship me. Now, Jesus was tempted in all points like we. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 says, for we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet he was without sin. He was tempted, but he never gave into temptation, and he never sinned. Yes, he was God in flesh, fully God and fully man. And as a man like you and I in his humanity, he was tempted, but he never sinned. And so Satan takes him there and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now let me tell you, that is some sort of temptation. Somehow the devil was able to overload the fleshly side of Jesus with everything that the world has to offer. He tempted Jesus with everything that the world has to offer. How? In a moment of time. And the devil tries out for that knockout punch. He says, you know what? I know I'm offering all those things, but ultimately what I want is for you to worship me. And he said, if you worship me, I'll give you everything. Satan is trying to tempt Jesus. Why? Because Satan wants Jesus to worship him. This is a self-centered power play by Satan. He had hoped that Jesus in his humanity would give in to Satan. You see, the devil seems to understand something about worship. Everybody say worship. The devil seems to understand something about worship, and I think we ought to be enlightened as well to understand what he understands. Because the devil understood that if I can get Jesus to bow down and worship me, there will be a shift, or there will be an exchange of power. There will be a transfer of power to me. Satan says, if I can get him to worship me, there'll be an exchange of power. There'll be a transfer. If he worships me, there will be a shift in the heavenlies. If Jesus would bow down and worship me, spiritual dominion will be transferred. And Satan understood that. He understood that in the act of worship, Listen to me today. That in the act of worship, power is transferred from the worshiper to the person being worshipped. Listen to me carefully. Satan understood that in the act of worship, power is transferred from the worshiper to the person being worshipped. Control is transferred from the worshiper to the person being worshipped. You see, in the act of worship, there is a power transfer. And Satan knew that. And he said, Jesus, if you will bow down to me, I'll give all of this to you. I'll give you this. I'm tempting you. Why? Satan knew the power of worship. And he knew if Jesus would bow down and worship him, that power would be transferred to him. Now, Satan is one of the three archangels mentioned in the heavens. Gabriel was a messenger angel. Michael, he was a warring angel. But there was another angel named Lucifer. And he was an angel of worship and glory. Satan wasn't always known as the devil. He was Lucifer, the anointed cherub. Everyone say anointed. If you read your Bible, you'll see that he was created to worship. He was in heaven before he fell. He was the worship leader in heaven. There were instruments inside of him. He was created to praise God. There was music inside of him. He was the anointed cherub before we ever knew him as Satan. And still the same applies, that Satan understands the power of music. And that is why we've got to be so careful with what we listen to these days, especially young people. And let me not just preach to the young people, because sometimes that's a bit of a scapegoat. Some of us older people, we need to be careful what we listen to, because Satan understands the power of music. And there are lyrics and there is songs and music that no Christian ought to be listening to at all. Music has a way of getting into your subconscious. You don't even have to learn something. If you can just hear the song, those lyrics can get into your mind and into your subconscious. And before you know it, you begin to rehearse and replay those lyrics. Satan still understands the power of music. And one way that he is changing the world and impacting the world, you see, with every crime gang, with every gang that commits violence and crime, let me tell you, they've all got their music. And sometimes it's the music that drives them and inspires them and works them into that frenzy to go and do those bad things. He understands the power of music. And be careful. He also knows how to make things sound beautiful. Don't listen to him. But he was able to see the power of worship in heaven before he fell. Before he fell, he understood the power of worship. He saw the power of worship in the spiritual realm. He knew when he came to Jesus, if Jesus would just worship me, there would be a transfer of power from him to me. And that's why Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." I submit to you that who or what you worship is the most important decision you will ever make in your life. And it is the most important decision you will make in terms of your soul's destiny. Because if worship can affect the spiritual world, if worship can create a shift of power from one to another, I want there to be a shift of power from me to Jesus in my life. I don't want to be the one in control. I don't want to be the one calling the shots. I don't want to be the one who has to try and think up everything and try to find a solution. I want to worship God. And in my worship, I want to transfer power from me to him and say, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. I yield control. I surrender all. All to Jesus I freely give. You see, when you worship, there is a transfer of power. That's the power of worship. And so there was a time, and I was, my dad was just recently telling me, he was doing Bible school with some people from Malaysia. And last year I was with Brother Alex and Brother Akbar. We were in a place called Kalimantan, and we saw a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit there in one of the services. But let me tell you, it was the power of God. Why? Because we were worshiping God. And if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, you know, let me tell you how to receive the Holy Spirit is you just start worshiping God and His power. You're making yourself vulnerable. You're opening yourself up, and you know you're transferring power to God in your life. The power of God will become manifest in your life, because when you worship, there is a transfer of power from us to Him. You see, worship shifts the authority. Worship shifts the control from us to Jesus. You see, that is the power of worship. And so I submit to you today, if you need change in your life, what are you waiting for? You've got to worship God. If you need God to help you in your marriage, begin to worship God. If you need God to help you with your finances, begin to worship God. Because worship can change the atmosphere. Because worship shifts the power from the worshiper to the one being worshiped. God, I give you power. Power in my life. Oh God, come and work in my life. Even if you're in a crisis, if you're feeling defeated now, if you feel like you've lost strength, let me tell you, the key is to worship God. If it feels like your heart is breaking, let me tell you, the answer is to transfer power to God in your life, and you do it through worship. If you're carrying a heavy burden today, you don't have the power to carry that burden, turn it over to the Lord and believe that He is able to do a work if you would just worship Him. Worship is the transfer of power. We win, listen, we win when we worship. Amen? I won't let anything destroy my worship. I won't let circumstances. I won't let other people. I won't let offense. I won't let anything steal my worship. Because if I can worship, I can win. Because the power of God is at work in my life. I want to show you a man, and I don't have too long to go, but if you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat provides a wonderful example for us about how praise and worship leads to victory. When a great multitude from Syria had come against Israel, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, he fasted and prayed. Everyone say prayer and fasting. In response, the Spirit of God gave a word that they would not need to even fight the battle, but they would just position themselves. Everyone say position themselves. And if they would get themselves in the right position, that they would see the salvation of the Lord. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 17, it says here, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, position yourselves, stand ye still, and you will see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Everyone say, go out against them. And how were they to go out against them? It says, within the right position, in the right posture, go out against them. What? Stand still. Hang on, God. You're telling us to just make sure we're in the right position and to just stand still and to go out against the enemy? Doesn't make sense until we read the next verse. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Are you ready to go to battle, Jehoshaphat? Yeah, what are we going to do? He goes, well, we're going to go out there. We're going to position ourselves. And then what? Stand still. You don't have to do anything. Just worship God. Because you see, worship is the transfer of power. Let's look at this. Jehoshaphat understood it. There was a transfer of power. In verse 21 says, and when he consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord fought for them. The Lord set ambushments against the children of Amnon and Moab and Mount Seir, which came against Judah, and they were smitten. All it took to defeat the enemy was somebody to stand still and just worship God. You see, worship is the transfer of power. Worship is the transfer of power in our lives. And if you're stuck today, if you're confused, if you're going through a hard time, if you don't have the strength, let me tell you, if you would just worship God, He will give you His strength. Because in my weakness, He is made strong. When I am down to nothing, when I worship God, His power comes into my life. As we finish, we go to Mark chapter 5. You see, if we can worship, we can win. And when you worship Jesus, you transfer power to Him. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 13. We read, this is the man that was amongst the tombs. Verse 1, I'll summarize. Jesus comes to the country of the Gadareans. And when Jesus gets off the boat, there is a man who came. He came out of the tombs. Everyone say the tombs. Everybody say the graveyard. Any man who comes running out of a graveyard is gonna scare me. When Jesus got off the boats, a man came out of the tombs and met him. He was a man with an unclean spirit. The Bible says no one could control him. They tried to chain him up. They tried to tie him up. Even with chains, they couldn't control him. They would try to bind him with chains. He would just break those chains. No man could tame him. No one could control him. The only time they came to see him was to put more chains on him. He's a scary guy. He was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying, cutting himself with stones. In verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, everybody say, when he saw Jesus, he was afar off, but he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of David, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said, come out of that man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And the spirit answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. We get into verse 15. We see what happens to this man, who nobody can control, nobody could tame, tormented day and night, cutting himself with stones, living among the dead in the tombs. And they came to Jesus, and they see him that was possessed with the devil and had a legion. Everyone say a legion. That's a lot of devils. Sitting, there he is sitting, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Doesn't mean that they were scared. They were amazed. They were amazed. You see, 2,000 demons, some people say, on the inside. That's a lot of wrong. That's a lot of craziness. Let's put it this way. He's done everything that you could do. He's done everything wrong that you could do. Even after 2,000 demons, Jesus still came to him. And you know, every person that the devil has lied to, the devil says, you know, because of your sin, God doesn't love you. Because you sinned, you know, Jesus has abandoned you. Let me tell you, before you even sinned, Jesus loved you enough to die on the cross for you. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How much does He love me, Pastor? Let me tell you how much He loves you. He loves you this much. Even a legion of demons couldn't stop Jesus' love for him. And when Jesus comes, everything that comes with Jesus comes. You see, the reward was not a thing. The reward was the King. The demoniac didn't need another thing. He needed deliverance. Let me tell you, the things of this world will never satisfy you. Only King Jesus can satisfy you. If you would just allow Him to come and sit on the throne of your life, if you would just worship Him and let Him to come and sit on the throne of your life, let me tell you, He can make all things new. Let's stand across this place right now. I wonder if there's somebody that would worship Jesus. You're not after a thing today. You've got enough things. You're after the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let us create a throne for Him to sit upon the throne of our life. Because when we worship, there is a transfer of power. Maybe you need God's power in your life today. Maybe you need Him to move on your behalf. Maybe you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Worship. This man's deliverance, his breakthrough came when he worshiped God. The end of demonic possession came when he worshiped God. He got his right mind back when he worshiped God. You see, worship is the transfer of power. And there's somebody here today. You're striving and striving and striving to do things in your own strength. Stop striving and surrender and worship Jesus and let Him do that work in your life. Let's pray. Jesus, we love You. Lord, we need You today. Lord, we thank You that You love us. We thank You, Lord, that You inhabit the praises of Your people. We thank You, Lord, that You are the all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present God. There's no God like You, Lord. You created the heavens and the earth. You created us. You formed us. You know us. Even in our mother's womb, You knew us, oh God. Lord God, we declare in this house, we need You. Lord God, we need You to sit on the throne of our life. And Lord Jesus, we come right now in worship before You, Lord God. We worship You, Lord God, because we want to transfer power. Lord God, we're nothing. We can't do it on our own. Lord, You are the all-powerful, all-knowing God. Sit on the heart, on the throne of our heart, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. Let's just worship the Lord.